Are you going to jump right in the one? You know what's kind of cool is they really know how hard-headed we are. They cover step one in like four chapters. That's how hard-headed we are. They go over it in the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, even in There's a Solution, and more about alcoholism. Even in the chapter There's a Solution, they go, there's a solution, but wait a minute. I need to go back to the fact of really talking about alcoholism for a second, because I don't think you really get it before I can even give you the solution. So you'll find step one in the doctor's opinion, Bill's story, There's a Solution, and more about alcoholism. Those are the chapters that really cover step one. So, you know, we're going to go over real quick. The doctor's opinion, Bill's story, There's a Solution, more about alcoholism. All that is step one. Isn't that crazy? Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives have become unmanageable. What's admitted? While she's looking that up, you know, I was grateful that somebody took me through the book. If you would have just had me read it, I would have made up some other stuff. I probably wouldn't have understood it that way either.
Confess to be true. Allow entrance or access. Hmm. Allow the possibility of.
Allow the possibility of. I like that. You said, what he said, accept to be true?
Mm-hmm.
Accept to be true. Accept to be true. Isn't that something? Admit it. We always go, I admit I'm powerless over God. You know what you're saying.
Excuse me.
Yes. I'm just reading the step one itself.
Okay.
Admitted we were powerless, and it says we, right? Does it say admitted I was? It says admitted we were. Were, and they use the word were. Am I that correct? Past tense. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol, and our lives were unmanageable. You know, I like the fact that they say we, because I get to include myself in the we. I get to say I, but I'm not lonely in that I. It's far more difficult to say I am powerless, more shameful, but to say we are as a collective allows me to embrace it a little bit easier. Because if you are, I am too, and we together are. So we're not like alone in some little isolated island, you know, with leprosy, and you gotta like put me away somewhere. We are collectively powerless as individuals. That I get to admit that. In the 12 and 12, it says, who wants to admit complete defeat? So to ask the question, nobody. I love that. So that means that it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. They're not telling me, be like, yay, I'm powerless. Woohoo. Yippee-yay. It's like, I'm powerless. Ugh. Does it feel good? I don't want to admit that, but I have to. I have evidence of it. I'm not saying it just because you're saying it. I got evidence. That I'm powerless. Lack of power is our dilemma. Lack of power is our dilemma. Most people struggle with the second half of step one. Unmanageability. Many of us can say, oh yeah, I'm powerless over alcohol. You know why we say that? Because yeah, I have a drink and then I keep drinking a lot. This allergy of the body that the doctor talks about, we're going to cover very quickly. But many of us sometimes can identify with the allergy of the body. Once too many, a thousand's not enough. Oh, yes, many times I went out for a drink and I said I was going to have one and I end up having 10. I guess I can see that. Yeah, I drank a lot. I would get kind of drunk, a little messy. too many cocktails. Unmanageability. Oh, no. Now you tripping. Not unmanageable. What's unmanageable?
I don't know if they're going to have un, but I'll look.
I drink too much, but unmanageable. I have a job, for goodness sake. And a family I take care of.
Okay, there's no unmanageable, but I'll look up manageable. So I guess maybe that's...
And we're going to spend the morning before we go on our break, right, on step one. Because this is the biggest one. And this is the one that it tells me is the only step I need to do perfectly, actually. All the other ones, I have an open mind. I do the best I can. I attempt, you know, I try. But step one, we need to get this one. I can't be confused on one.
So it says for manageable, it's to succeed in achieving, contrive, succeed in one's aim. So unmanageable is to not succeed in one's aim, I'm guessing.
Yeah, not succeed in one's aim.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part of that step. I can admit, to some extent, because I have proof that I drink too much. Powerless? I don't know about that. Because I, you know, my greatest obsession is to drink like other people. And I've been trying to manage and control my drinking for a while. Powerless? Now you're getting a little scary there. I'm not powerless. I'm not weak. I'm not a punk. We struggle with that. Can admit I drink a little too much. And some family members don't invite me anymore. For some reason, I'm not sure really why. Other than I don't think they've ever really liked me much. But me, powerless. And we have to admit that, huh? And that our lives were unmanageable, that my life is unmanageable by me? Not sure. Look at the doctor's opinion.
Page.
I have XXIII. What you got?
In the fourth edition, I have XXV.
XXV. XXV. As in Victor. And we'll open up again questions. I'm going with the flow. I like to go into this with an open mind, so please don't get the impression that I'm over here like knowing what I'm doing. Come on. I can't do it that technical. I'm not a professor. I don't have my alcohol and drug counseling certificate. I'm just a drunk right along with you. This is my experience of how I understood the book and the program, how I love going in that way. So I get to have fun right along with you. Certain things I'm going to be like, really? Did you hear that? I just learned something new today. Okay. Are you at the doctor's opinion? XXV. I have, you have fourth, you have third edition? XXIII? Or XXV? You have III?
No,
VII.
Yeah.
VII?
Don't listen to me.
Cool. The doctor's opinion. Who the heck is the doctor? I was like that. It's all big and caps, right? The doctor's opinion. Who is this doctor? My goodness. He's pretty special. He got a whole chapter. That's how I saw it. The doctor. Oh, my God. I'm impressed. We of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the reader will be interested in the medical estimate, yeah, of a plan of recovery described in this book. So they thought I might be interested. Isn't that something? They thought about it. That means somebody thought about this and said, you know, I think they probably want to hear from a doctor. Our experience is probably not enough. Convincing testimony must surely come from medical men And anytime I saw the word must, they told me to circle it and underline would follow. Because there's a lot of must in this book. There's not a lot of suggestions. Must means must. There isn't a whole lot of room in must. I love how they say, you know, we get suggestions around here. You know, Bill had a lot more must in the first edition. They started taking it out. But there was a lot of must still left in here. I remember when I got here, they used to say even suggestions that were given to me were suggestions like, the building's on fire, I suggest you leave. You could stay, but not a whole lot of room there. So convincing testimony must surely come from medical men who had experience with the suffering of members and have witnessed a return to health. Also, the doctor has some experience with us. It's not just some doctor. A well-known doctor, chief physician at the nationally prominent hospital specializing in alcoholic and drug addiction, gave Alcoholics Anonymous this letter. How impressive. So this is a doctor who specializes in alcohol and drug addiction. It's important. You need to, I don't know, but I need to hear stuff like this. I don't want just some doctor. You know how many doctors I've seen, this, I've been out there to talk to? I need to hear from another doctor. Who is this doctor who got something to say? This doctor specializes. Maybe that's different. And he's also witnessed us return to health. Maybe he's important, this doctor. To whom it may concern, I have specialized in the treatment of alcoholism for many years. He's letting me know again. He's been around for a minute. In the late 1934, I attended a patient who, though he had been a competent businessman of good earning capacity, was an alcoholic of the type I had come to regard as hopeless. Oh, my. In the course of his third treatment, he acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. Why do I read that? Because the doctor is telling me that I could believe these people. The doctor is telling, and I don't know about you, but most doctors are very egotistical and arrogant, and they don't really like give other people credibility. They're the ones that do it all. And this doctor is saying, these people got something going on that maybe I don't. That's impressive to me. So now I'm like, this is a cool doctor. I kind of like this doctor. I'm not going to read the whole letter because I wanted to get into to step one. Where am I? It says, later on, I'm going to go down to, after his letter, the second paragraph. It says, the doctor's theory is that we have an allergy to alcohol, interests us. As laymen, our opinion as to the soundness may, of course, mean little. But as an ex-problem drinker, we can say his explanation makes good sense. It explains many things for which we could not otherwise account. Well, that's interesting. This allergy of the body thing is kind of interesting because I can't really explain why is it that I say I'm going to go somewhere, have just a glass of wine, and next thing you know, the place is closing down and I'm still there. I've been trying to figure that out. Says this theory of the allergy is kind of interesting to him. It's interesting to me. Oh, it's an allergy. Is that why many times I said I'm only going to do 2 or 3 and then I end up doing 10 or I keep going or I get a money order, I get paid and I put it in money orders and by the end of the night I'm trying to cash a money order in some liquor store that says to the Department of Water and Power. My intention was to pay my bills. So what, something is happening to me that with all my good intention of wanting to pay my bills and not keep drinking, I'm doing it anyway, which starts explaining the word powerless to me. a person who's, anybody here got allergies of like strawberries, nuts, or anybody got any allergies to foods? You do. What happens to you if you either smell, some people smell, or ingest something you're allergic to?
Like my eyes get swollen and my nose dripping and it's itching and I have to leave.
Can you stop it?
No, I tried.
Can you wish it away?
I tried.
It's still there. So that's the idea. We're going to look up allergy, but the idea of an allergy is nothing you can do about that. Yeah. Other than maybe not. What are you allergic to?
A lot of stuff like hazelnuts and grass and some flowers.
So the best you can do is just try to stay away from hazelnuts, grass, and flowers.
Yeah.
Right?
The most convenient thing to do.
Now, you love hazelnuts, let's say. And do you keep, could you imagine, you keep trying to eat them, but every time you eat them, all this happens to you.
Yeah.
And you keep going, okay, I'm just going to have half of a hazelnut.
Yeah, with a chocolate bar. We just...
with a little bit of hazelnut.
Not let the hazelnut win.
You're not going to let the hazelnut win. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
This hazelnut will not get me. How dare this hazelnut have power over me?
I'm going to beat him.
I'm going to beat the hazelnut. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
How ridiculous would that be? The bottom line is you can't have hazelnut. Because once you have it, something happens to your body that you cannot control, even if you wanted to. It's the same analogy. It's the same relationship that this doctor is saying I have with alcohol. And again, if I identify it with my experience, the doctor is not too far off from the truth. That's why I say nobody's ever lied to me here. If I keep an open mind to the possibility that just maybe these people know what they're talking about because it's their experience, I can't lie about that. My experience, your experience with hazelnut. What if I tell you, oh, come on, you can have a hazelnut. Oh, get over it. Pull yourself up from your bootstraps, man. Can't you handle a hazelnut? What if I told you that? And you're sitting there going, I know what happens to my body when I take a hazelnut. I don't care how delicious the hazelnut is or how great I enjoy it or I would love to have it all the time, even with chocolate. Something happens to my body when I put hazelnut in it. And once it goes in, I can't do nothing about it. I began to understand powerlessness when I understood the allergy. Part of the powerlessness. Because I'm going to talk about the obsession. But what's interesting is the obsession we can overcome. The level of powerlessness is this allergy. See how simple it is to treat your issue with hazelnut? You just don't eat it.
Even if you don't, like, you know, pull yourself together.
Yep.
You can't have it.
You can't have it. You can't have it. Mm-mm. What do you have for allergy?
Adverse reaction to certain substances.
Adverse reaction to certain substances. That's what makes me different from my fellows. I have a glass of wine, the allergy kicks in. You have a glass of wine, you chillin'. I just want to have a glass of wine like you. But something happens, the allergy that happens in my body, like the hazelnut, something happens to my body, and it goes, feed me, Seymour. Keep it coming, don't stop. More. You know, I listened to this guy, Otto. He used to crack me up. Wonderful speaker. He kept drinking and drinking. He went to some fair and had a hot dog and some other stuff. Then went to the bar and kept drinking and drinking. He would get sick. I mean, to the point that I'm puking and everything, and I still go back in and drink again. And he said he's doing that, and he's going out puking, and he comes back, and he's like, I will never, ever, ever, ever have another hot dog from a fair again. We blame it on the hot dog. Has nothing to do with the booze. How funny is that? Again, it says, before that, the other paragraph, it has said, the physician who at our request, after his letter, had gave us this letter, had been kind enough to enlarge upon his views in another statement which follows. In this statement, he confirms... You got the phone? He confirms that we have suffered alcoholic torture. We who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. I must believe that. Do you know that if I don't believe that, I'm going to stay confused? I'm going to stay confused. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality, that we were outright mental defectives. These things were true to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us, but we are sure that our bodies were sickened as well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete. My body is different. Just like the gentleman with the allergy of the hazelnut. You know, that's not cute to say. Look, he's a grown man talking about, I can't eat no hazelnuts. I can't control the hazelnut. But you see, what's funny is that you can sit there and listen to him and go, oh my goodness, keep hazelnuts away from him. You could respect that. And you could say to him, make sure you're okay that you don't have any. I cook something, it has hazelnut in it, make sure you don't eat it. Right? Because you don't want all this stuff. You know that what's going to happen to him, he can't stop. The only thing you got to do is go to the hospital. We understand that with other allergies. But when it comes to alcohol, we don't get that. There's just no way that something happens to my body. But the doctor is saying, yes, something physically is happening to your body. As unfortunate as you find it to be, that's the case. And if you don't understand that, you're going to keep trying to figure out how you could drink. It's like Kim trying to figure out how to do the hazelnut. Put chocolate on it. Put it in a keg. Make it into a tea. It doesn't matter what form. He's allergic to the damn hazelnut. Stop with the hazelnut, dude. Leave it alone. Yes.
Actually, if you bake it in the oven...
Oh, more than likely, if you bake it, probably the oils fall from it, eh? And then you're able to eat it?
I don't know. I think
it's the oil that comes
with
the nuts.
He's going to make it work.
Baked in the oven.
Yeah. Yeah. That's happened. My brother's allergic to nuts. I think it's the oil that comes from. The scary thing is if it hasn't been cooked through thoroughly or if something hasn't happened, then you get jacked up.
Yeah.
Again, it's about what happens to my body. I could take the chance. But what happens to it once it goes in there is beyond anything I can stop or control. And that's the key thing here. What happens to my body, which for me in step one was a sense of relief of admitting that I was powerless. Because that's a relief to know that. That means that I'm not so incompetent. That means that I'm not so, do you know what I mean? Like I beat up on myself. Why can't I just do this? What's wrong with you? Just get it together. It allows me to stop doing that to myself. And they go, you know what? You just can't do that. That's all. Just can't do it. Something happens to you that's different. And that needs to be okay. For me, it was also a relief. Oh, it's not because I'm incompetent. It's not because I have the inability of trying to make this happen. I can't do anything about it. When it goes in my body. Oh, that's a relief. Okay, that's cool. Let's go with that then. I don't know. For me, that was very refreshing. My body was sick, and that's okay. What's funny is that on the bottom, it says, though, on the bottom of that paragraph, it says, though we worked out a solution on the spiritual as well as the altruistic plane, we favor hospitalization for the alcoholic who's very jittery or befogged. More often than not, it is imperative that a man's brain be cleared before he's approached. That tells me you need to stop talking to the alcoholic who's still drinking. Uh-huh. People crack me up talking to them. What's the matter with you? Don't say nothing. As he has then a better chance of understanding and accepting what we have to offer. We have a better chance clearing the brain of the jitters and defogging. Something happens to the body. We're going to clean out the body. Clear it out. This allergy goes, give me more, 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 more. I don't care if I throw up. I don't care if I have an accident, if I go and throw these. It doesn't matter. The reason why I'm saying like the good old days before that I can, these things, all these tragic things can happen to me and I get up and I have another drink again because my body's running things. Not me. Later on, they tell me, you want to find out if you have a problem? Go do some controlled drinking. Go to the nearest bar room, order you a drink, and it says stop abruptly. Don't say drink the whole thing. Stop abruptly. And be equipped with this information. And it says if you're honest with yourself, it may be worth a good case of jitters. Stop abruptly and see if you don't think about it no more. You're going to have a sip, put it down, and just try to have a good time. And it tells me, don't do it once, do it a few times. Because, you know, we're real good. I can do it and white knuckle and act like I'm doing something. And say, see, I proved it. No, do it a few times, it says. And be honest with yourself. I can pretend to you that I'm doing okay, but in my body, my body's going, leave it alone. Don't look at it. No, it's okay. Just like you're right. You're fine. Don't say nothing. Shh, be quiet. No, everybody's looking. You're all right. You don't need it. You'll be fine. Yes, I do. No, you don't. You're not thinking about it. Yes, you are. You know, all kinds of stuff is happening to me. I'll do an experiment another day. Oh, then you start saying some of those AA people. They're stupid anyway. Why am I here doing this stupid exercise? That's absolutely ridiculous. I don't even know why I'm playing this game. Just finish the rest of it. Who are they? They don't know anything. You're fine. You're great. You don't need this. This is nonsense. We'll just get rid of the wife. She's the problem. Getting on my nerves. I mean, that's what ends up happening to us. Step one is so important that I understand the actual disease of alcoholism. What happens to my body, my mind, and my spirit? What happens to me? I need to understand that so that I can admit. It says when I admit, I have proof. I am convinced. I have evidence. I don't just go, oh yeah, I'm powerless, because y'all, you know, it sounds cute. I was convinced. Based on my experience, I've tried. It didn't work. How many times I changed from scotch to brandy? How many times I did New Year's resolution? Or I said I'm only going to stop by for a quick nip. End up staying. And everyone's relationship may be a little different. That's why they told me to examine my relationship with alcohol. For some people, we progress into other things. The allergy is still there. I may have a glass of wine, and next you know, I'm smoking a joint. From a joint, I'm sniffing cocaine. Then I'm lacing the cocaine. Then I'm cooking it. How'd that happen? I was just going to have a glass of wine. Now I'm doing other things. Now it doesn't matter what comes. Just give me something, anything. Crystal meth, heroin, what you got, whatever. And I'm not choosy anymore because the body is demanding more. I've been in places where there was cocaine on the album cover. They spilt that and somebody put heroin. I didn't go, oh no. I was like, whatever. It's white, it's powder, it's there. Oh, it burns the hell out of your nose. Let's do that again. Why would anybody in their right mind do that? It's burning your nose. I felt it. There are certain drugs I've taken that my lungs felt like they would collapse. You would think that I would go, oh, no. And I was like, maybe we need to add something to it. How insane is that? admit that I'm powerless? That I would see you OD and your eyes roll in the back of your head and foam come out of your mouth and I think you just didn't cut it properly? Who does that? Who does that? Do you know what I'm saying? I actually take that very thing that had your eyes roll in the back of your head and do it. Because the body says, take it from him. He just did it wrong. You're going to be all right. If that's not powerless, because part of my brain says, don't do that. I go, oh, shut up. I've been in many situations where I said to myself, oh, I'm probably going to get, like, this guy can kill me right now. He's probably getting an axe. And why am I walking down the alley with these people? They're probably going to kill me. What are you doing here going with them? And then I go, ah, you tripping. That's probably the weed. Yeah. Smoke too much weed. Got you paranoid. Because we're on our way to do something. I need to go do that. There's no logic and no reason when I have the allergy of the body. We're not even talking about the obsession. The phenomenon of craving is the allergy of the body. We're not even talking about obsession yet. The obsession started first. But once I pick up, that's it. This is what the doctor's talking about, the allergy. That's so important. We got any questions on the allergy? Anybody give me some questions? You're not sure. Tell me your own experience in which you identify with that allergy. If you don't have a question, it's nice to hear from others. Opens up so much more. You have experience with the allergy? Can you tell us? You can't tell us?
No.
If I could tell you, you could tell us. Why I get to talk and you can't tell me your story? You can't think now? Okay. I'm like, hey. Y'all get to know my business. I love listening to yours. Anybody else can give me an example of experiencing the allergy in their own experience? Come on.
I was always very pissed off with people that could, you know, just give up the party and go home before me. I always fight to make them stay, you know. And they were like, where's the day tomorrow, too? Yeah, what a damn bore. So I was always first in, last out. Trying to cling to the night. Mm-hmm. The curtains down. Pulling after more. And I couldn't even figure out why. I was just gonna have one line to do the laundry. And 3 in the morning, I was sitting there alone. Trying to figure out what the hell happened. Yeah. That's the allergy to me.
Very cool. How about you? You're identifying. She's just all over the place. Talk to me.
I identify with a lot of that. The white powder. The lack of self-respect, that's the allergy. I'll never do that. The level that you drop till. I only do cocaine, I don't have a problem, you know. And then when the cocaine runs out, doesn't matter if it's amphetamine, doesn't matter if I end up down in the center of Stockholm with one of the drug addicts at 2 o'clock in the morning scoring heroin. You know, if it's finished, I need more. And then the allergy is you wake up tomorrow morning and you think, shit, I'll never do that again. And the same night, you're doing it again. Night after night after night, and then, you know, sort of, I'll never be an alcoholic because my father was an alcoholic. I can control alcohol and never drink it. Yeah. It's an allergy. You know, I'll just have one glass of wine. And then you look around the table when you're having a dinner and you're sitting with 5 people, and they drink half a glass of wine and then they forget about it. Yeah. You know, I don't drink half a glass of wine. I watch their glasses and control it, and then as soon as they walk out of the room, I'll finish theirs as well. Yeah, so I relate to it.
That's like this old timer was telling me about You know the story of the glass half full or half empty? Like our perception. He said, you know, you can look at the glass and say it's half full or it's half empty. He's like, the alcoholic looks at it. You tell him, is it half full or half empty? And the alcoholic is like, okay, are you done with that? Drink it now? Cute little game, but there's something in there. That's all I know. And I need to finish it. That's a funny story. Is the glass half full or half empty? Are you done with that? Oh, you know, there's some in there. Those are wonderful examples. It's important that I identify with that. That I'm sure that some part of me is saying, I'm only going to do this, and that's it. And it's not me. It's not necessarily me, the person going, I want to keep going to 2 or 3 in the morning. I want to end up down there with the other. I don't want to do that. That wasn't the intention. That was not the plan. But something happened when I put it in my body. So yeah, something begins to happen to me that's beyond my control. That's when we start getting into the powerlessness. I'm so busy thinking, that word we're so afraid of. Ooh, I have no power. Well, something happens to my body. If you stop drinking water, if you don't get rest, and if you don't eat, what are you, powerless? You can't walk around your life not drinking water, not eating, not sleeping? It's hard to admit that. I have to eat, I have to sleep, and I have to drink water in order to survive. Oh, you think water, sleep, and food got power over you? Do you know what I'm saying? I don't walk around doing that. Just look at my relationship with alcohol tells me that whenever I start with one, one is too many, a thousand is not enough. So perhaps the doctor knows what he's talking about. He's not too far off from the truth. If I'm honest with myself, I can say, you know what, that is the case, and that is my experience that has happened to me. Yes?
Could we have a leg stretcher now?
You want to stretch your arm?
Yeah, we've been here for 1.5 hours.
Is it time for our break?
At 11:30.
We got 10 more minutes, and we're going to get up and walk around and go out. Hold on, 10 more minutes? It's 11:20. In 10 minutes, we're actually going to go take a break. You can stretch your arm. We won't mind you stretching your arm. You want to stretch your arms? You gonna wait till 11:30? Did I lose you? What's your name? Did I lose you? Ida, do you want to stretch your arms or you wait till 10 more minutes? You'll wait? Okay, cool. My daughter lost you. You made a suggestion, just disappeared on me. Okay. So now we have back to the doctor's letter. Later on, the doctor writes. We're over here. I think I got XX. Where are you, Gianni? Here, the letter. XXVII. Where the doctor now starts writing. XXVII. Gets easier when we get into the numbers. The doctor writes. I like the doctor's letter. Everybody at XXVII it is? The doctor writes. XXV. Everybody's there?
Yeah.
The subject presented in this book seems to be of paramount importance to those afflicted with alcoholic addiction. I say this after many years of experience as a medical director of one of the oldest hospitals in the country, treating alcoholic and drug addiction. So he's been around for many years, and the oldest hospital. There was, therefore, a sense of real satisfaction when I was asked to contribute a few words on a subject which is covered in such mastery detailed in these pages. We doctors have realized for a long time that some form of moral psychology was of urgent importance to alcoholics, but its application presented difficulties beyond our conception. With what are ultra-modern standards, our scientific approach to everything, we are perhaps not well equipped to apply the powers of good that lie outside our synthetic knowledge. So you're talking about a spiritual experience. That's the moral psychology. Man's synthetic knowledge. Many years ago, one of the leading contributors, I'm talking about Bill W., to this book came under our care in this hospital, and while here, he acquired some ideas, which he put into practical application at once. Later, he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story to other patients here, and with some misgivings, was consented. The cases we have followed through have been more interesting. In fact, many of them are amazing. The unselfishness of these men, as we have come to know them, the entire abstinence of profit motive and their community spirit is indeed inspiring to one who has labored long and weary in this alcoholic field. They believe in themselves and still more in the power which pulls chronic alcoholics back from the gates of death. Huh. Of course, the alcoholic ought to be freed from his physical craving from liquor. Oh my. And this often requires a definite hospital procedure before psychological means can be of maximum benefit. We believe and so suggest a few years ago that the action of the alcoholic on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of the allergy. That phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average tempered drinker. That tells me that I can't say that I'm a tempered average drinker. It never occurs. It doesn't say it sometimes occurs with them. It says it never occurs. Therefore, I can't think that I'm an average drinker. I just had a bad spell. I'm just going through something right now. It says it never occurs. It doesn't happen to them. That makes me a little bit different. Now, they're not telling me I need to chew this with fun. I've had cod liver oil. I don't like it, but it's good for your health. Some nasty stuff. It never occurs. Never happens. In the average tempered drinker. These allergic types can what? Never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to even solve. Mm-hmm. Oh my. Mm-hmm. It's getting scary now. Mm-hmm. It just becomes more and more difficult for me to lie to myself. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't keep going, oh, I'm just, you know, just going through something. It makes it very difficult. They're asking me to admit. Step one is to admit. And admit says with proof. You use the word proof. I need to be convinced. I have evidence. Admitting is, I'm admitting with proof and evidence. I'm not just saying it. Because it sounds cute. I'm saying it because I got evidence. I'm listening to this and I'm going, oh my goodness. The more and more I begin going through the doctor's opinion, more about alcoholism, Bill's story, I start going, oh my goodness. That's me. I did that. Uh-oh. I can't have hazelnuts. Hazelnuts don't work for me. And I like them too. They're so tasty. It doesn't mean that I was like, oh, yay. I was like, I like alcohol. I like the taste of alcohol. I like the effect of alcohol. But I have an allergic reaction. So this day I go to the doctor and I go, no, I can't take certain substances because I break out to the crack house. That's what I tell them. I tell the doctor, I start stealing your stethoscope and stuff. I start taking stuff from you. You don't want to give me alcohol in any form because something happens to me. That's beyond me. I said, you see me here just being all nice, nice little patient? I'm not cute. Give me some kind of substance and we're in trouble. And the next patient you see walking in here will not be the same. And it's not that I want to be mean, Doc. It's just something happens to me. I want to be a good daughter. I want to be a great friend. I want to be a wonderful employee. Something happens with this allergy of the body, and I need to be convinced of that. Real quick, I'm going to tell the story before we take a break. I love, there's an HBO special that really describes this. It's a documentary of a woman with her two children and a couple of boyfriends. And she's trying to get sober. I talk about it all the time because it just really, I used to show it in my DUI classes. I love DUI class. Nobody's an alcoholic in those.
What's that?
DUI, drunk driving classes. When you get a DUI from drinking and driving, you have to go do alcohol and drug school. And I used to teach the classes. And I had a blast. I had a blast. Gianni was one of my students in my DUI. And I'm always like, oh no, you guys are not alcoholics. I'm talking about those other people. I'm like, that's why this is going to be a piece of cake for you. Because as people are drinking and driving and end up having to go to these schools, I would say to them, you're different, right? You don't have the allergy of the body. So therefore, you'll be able to manage and control your drinking. And so next time, you won't drink and drive. So this is a piece of cake for you. Don't even worry about it. You're going to be fine. See, alcoholic who needs to be a little worried. Because it doesn't matter. And eventually they're going to sell the car anyway. I'm not so much worried about the alcoholic. They stay home after a while. It's you responsible people that concern me. But anyway. But I show them this HBO special to help them to understand alcoholism and the dynamics of it. There's a woman who's a mother. She has two of her children. And she tells her children that she's going to keep them because her mother and her sister takes them away from her. Because she's not taking care of them well. And she tells him, don't worry, you're going to come home soon. I'm going to be clean. And she goes to court. And the judge asks, are you clean? And she says, yes, I am. And the mother and the sister go, no, she isn't. She goes, yes, I am. So the judge says, if I test you, you're going to be clean? She says, no, I'm not. The judge tells her, you have to go back and tell your children that they can't go home with you because you're not clean. Do you know that she had every intention of being clean that day? She really did. She goes back and she has to tell her children, as bad as that is, she got to do it. She got to tell her children they can't come home with her. The next time her daughter sees her on the street and they're telling her, as long as you get clean, you can have your children back. Her daughter sees her and says, Mom, are you clean? Her mother says, yeah, I'm doing good. Some late, it's in New York. We're in each other's business in New York. Somebody around the corner go, no, she isn't. I just saw her shooting up around the corner. Her daughter knows what fresh tracks look like, so she opens up, pulls up her mother's arm, and she goes, let me see your arms. And she goes, that's fresh. The daughter's like 6, 7 years old. That's a fresh track, Mommy. Right? Next thing you know, the mother says, don't worry. I'm going to get this together, and you're going to come home with me. It's during Christmas time, and they're over at their grandmother's house, and the mother goes over to visit. And she's standing there, and the daughter says to the camera, if our mother loved us, she would get clean and she would stay here with us if she really loved us. And the mother hears somebody calling her from downstairs and she's got this monkey on her back, right? The allergy is kicked in, boy. It's not even the obsession because she already had been using before she got there. And it's kicked in. And someone's downstairs saying, hurry up, come downstairs. She's like, I'll be there in a minute. She opens up the door and the daughter says, stay on this side of the door, Mommy. Just close the door, Mommy, and stay right here. If you love us, you'll stay here, Mommy. And the mother's like, and the daughter's going, just stay here, Mommy, just stay here. And the mother can't take it anymore. Her body's moving, you know what I mean? Her body's doing some stuff. Next thing you know, she's standing halfway out the door, halfway inside. And the daughter's like, just come on this side of the door, Mommy. Just come on this side and just close the door. The mother can't take it anymore. She goes, you know what? I'm getting hot. Let me go. Give me a kiss. Love you. See you later. And she leaves. And she goes out in the alley and she starts slamming dope. And people will look at that and say, that's a horrible mother. What a horrible mother. That she didn't stay. Her daughter said, if you loved her, you would stay. And I tell people, if you look at that and you say that, you do not understand alcoholism. But that is the allergy of the body. That lady loves her daughter. But despite that, When the allergy kicks in, even the obsession, I gotta go. That is powerless. And she's getting loaded in the alley for several reasons. One, to get the monkey off her back. Two, the guilt and the shame of walking out on her daughter. There's so much going on with her. Oh, I love that part in that special. I love showing people who don't understand the disease and the allergy. That is powerlessness. And even if that woman would say to herself, no matter how much I love my daughter, I'm going to stay on this side of the door as the daughter said so, she couldn't do it. Why? The body was like, you cannot stay here. You're not going to stay here. You think you are, but you're not. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, what a battle. That's powerless, man. And unmanageable. That is powerlessness. That it is beyond anything I would even want to do or desire to do. Isn't that something? I want to be a mother. That's all. What is wrong? I am smart. I am wise. I am capable of doing all kinds of things. What happens to me when it comes to this substance that is beyond anything I can do when I am able to do so much in my life? So many of us are brilliant people. Alcoholics, we're jack of all trades. Oh my God, we're so smart. We've been very, very successful. We succeed in many areas. We success with riches and we've succeeded with failure. We're good at either way, what we do. We're consistent. We're consistent people. We're chameleons. We can adapt very quickly to anything. I can change my trade just like this and do a wonderful job at it. One day to the next, I was a mental hygiene therapist. And damn good at it, too. Worked in a psych ward. Never did that before in my life. Took a class. I was there. We're wonderful people. So what is it about us? Brilliant people capable of doing so much in our lives, achieving greatness and achieving ruin, that I take a drink and I can't do nothing about that, no matter how hard I try. Isn't that scary? What freedom it is to really know that. Perhaps then I get to go, not today. Not today. Something happens to me when I take hazelnut. I think I'll pass. Somebody goes, well, we'll bake it. You know what? Why don't I just leave it alone altogether? You know? So let's think about that during our break. We're going to take a break for how long?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. We're going to smoke, get something to eat, stretch our arms.